This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, August 4th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll have an in-depth interview with the new president of Champaign's Parkland College. And later on, we'll get a forecast for the weekend from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. White supremacist Matthew Hale is suing his former attorney. Hale is serving a 40-year prison sentence. A judge convicted him 2 years ago of soliciting an undercover FBI informant to kill U.S. District Judge Joan Humphrey Lefko. Hale alleges in a malpractice suit filed yesterday in Cook County that his defense attorney committed numerous acts and omissions that fell beneath a reasonable standard of care. Hale seeking $30 million in damages. The attorney, Thomas Durkin, told the Chicago Tribune he doesn't believe the lawsuit is, in his words, worthy of a comment. Prosecutors said Hale was angry at Lefko because of a ruling she made against his white supremacist organization. The judge was never attacked, but her mother and husband were killed by an unemployed electrician in an unrelated incident last year. Some members of a support group for people abused by Catholic priests says this week's report of clergy misconduct in the Diocese of Springfield doesn't go far enough to protect people against becoming future victims. Kavitha Cardoza has more.
Members of SNAP, or Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, is calling for the names and locations of all 8 clergy accused to be publicized through the media. The serious misconduct mentioned in the report allegedly included sexual relationships, taking church donations for personal use, and using parish computers to access inappropriate sites. David Clossy says more details are the only way to protect vulnerable Catholics who have been raised believing priests are God's men on earth.
Both Catholics that are under 18 and Catholics that are over 18. And unless that disparity of power is acknowledged, and unless Bishop Lucas works harder to reach out to people who've been hurt by these priests and work harder to warn others about these priests, more harm will be done, and the harm that has been done already will continue to fester.
A spokesperson for the diocese says no criminal activity was uncovered, and if Catholics are aware of wrongdoing, they should go directly to law enforcement authorities. I'm Kavitha Cardoza.
An environmental group contends the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency isn't protecting the public from contaminated water at the nation's beaches, including those along the Great Lakes. A suit filed by the Natural Resources Defense Council claims the EPA has issued several deadlines established by Congress to develop faster tests for potentially dangerous bacteria. The council's Great Lakes coordinator, Laurel O'Sullivan, says swimmers shouldn't have to risk a trip to the emergency room when they take a dip in the lake. Chicago checks the beach water every weekday during the summer, but the results aren't available for 24 hours. There are faster tests, but the EPA says they need further study. EPA spokesman Dale Kemery wouldn't comment on the lawsuit, but he says the state of the nation's beach health remains high. One of the people who helped build and broaden the University of Illinois School of Music is being remembered as a man who followed his own unique path. John Garvey died last month in Maryland at the age of 85 after a long illness. He came to the U of I in 1948 as a classical viola instructor, but eventually founded the school's first jazz band. One of his students, trumpeter Jeff Helgeson, considered Garvey more of a mentor and cohort. He remembers Garvey's unconventional teaching style that taught concepts such as swing in a memorable way.
If he didn't feel like the band was swinging hard enough, he would evoke a visual image of someone taking a bucket and swinging it around over their head like a, you know, in a windmill fashion. And he would sit up in front of the band and do this. He would get the whole band doing this, you know, these odd motions.
Helgeson says Garvey would regularly hold court with fellow band members inside a local coffee house, pontificating in any and all subjects. Garvey's work eventually established the U of I's Jazz Studies program. Well, the Illinois State Fair in Springfield kicks off in about a week. The fair's manager says there's plenty of entertainment, food, and other attractions. But one area that's always uncertain is the weather. Sean Crawford has a preview.
After months of planning for the state fair, officials at this point start eyeing the weather forecast. Fair manager Amy Bliefnick says it has a major role in attendance.
If it's too hot, if it's too cold, if it's raining, I mean, those factors all play a part in when you play an outdoor festival like we are. But you know what? It was funny, last year we had one day where it rained 10 hours and there were still tons of people here. I think it just goes to show that the state fair is an important family tradition to many people throughout the state.
Bleefnik won't estimate how many people are expected to pass through the fair gates this year. Grandstand ticket sales have been mixed, with the most sold for country acts Carrie Underwood and Phil Vassar on the fair's final night. Other events include expanded harness racing, a professional rodeo, a competitive eating contest, and the Chicago White Sox World Series trophy on display Saturday, August 19th. The State Fair in Springfield runs from August 11th through the 20th. I'm Sean Crawford.
For the latest newscast online, you can go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The new president of Parkland College says he knows he has some big shoes to fill. Robert Exley has taken the helm of the community college in Champaign, succeeding Zalima Harris, who retired after 16 years as president. In a talk with AM 580's Jeff Bossert, Exley says he wants the college to establish stronger ties with the community.
I think one of the most important things for me is to honor the legacy of Dr. Harris and what Parkland has done. And at the same time, though, I strongly believe that all institutions reach a point when it's okay to recreate yourself a bit. And one of the things that's very important to me and appeared to be very important to the board of directors when they hired me was a commitment to civic engagement and service learning. That probably will be a hallmark of where I hope the institution goes in the next 3 to 5 years. I know the University of Illinois has a history of being engaged with community and making a difference in community. And for me, Parkland College is setting right at an opportunity to ramp up their efforts in community engagement and civic work.
The relationship with the campus here, anything you want to do to enhance that?
The first thing that I would hope to do is have a conversation with Chancellor Herman regarding how the University of Illinois is involved in civic engagement. In Sunday's paper, there was a description of a possible lab school and the role that University of Illinois has played in that. Well, the places I've been before, the two-year community college students can also play vital roles in those sorts of partnerships. And so that's number one. And I think the second one truly is to continue to explore serious articulation agreements where students can start their academic career at Parkland and seamlessly move right into the University of Illinois.
We're always getting press releases that Parkland offers some new academic program in this or that. What educational goals, what kind of things would you like to work on?
A couple of things real clearly. One is the idea of the community college being a complete and full player in the Academy of Higher Education. Really want to recognize and respect intellectual curiosity on campus. The college is known for enormous commitment to our craft of teaching and exploring our students' learning. Are they mastering the content and the skills we want them to master through our teaching methodologies? I'd like to continue that and expand it just a bit more. I think the community college has made a huge difference in my life, as well as many other students who didn't see themselves as college students. And they did that by having the same commitment to academic rigor and academic integrity that you would find at any university.
And you have a very similar background to your predecessor. Well, you've both raised in Texas?
I think you're correct. I know that Zalima's background is in Texas. My background was I grew up in the Houston area. I think that from the concept of not having a family that's large in higher education that was similar, a family that's primarily blue-collar, and gave us an opportunity to really understand how community colleges can make a difference in those first-generation students. It's very similar.
Yeah, this was not something stressed upon you and family in terms of not this kind of career. That was a very industrial type of background.
Yeah, my family is a family where faith is a very large part of our family. I have two older brothers. They're both in the ministry with a denomination called Assemblies of God, and I have a younger sister. She still lives in Houston, Texas. My father was with Baker Oil Tools, which became Baker Hughes, for a number of years. And so I did not go right on to college out of high school. I went to work in a petrochemical plant on the Ship Channel in Houston, Texas. Frankly, became very bored with that work after a while and had an opportunity to go to a community college called San Jacinto Community College. And that's what I did.
Any other goals as you get your feet wet starting the academic year?
Probably the first real large goal that I have is, quite frankly, to learn and understand the culture of Parkland College and respect it. And we're trying to do that through one-on-one, face-to-face conversations with every single employee and hearing their story and where they've come from and how they arrived at Parkland. And to date, I've probably spoken to about 45 or 50 out of 450 employees. And the themes that come through that are quite exciting to me that I want to recognize and reinforce is huge diversity of people and backgrounds and experiences from many different countries, many different cultures, with a common goal of making a difference in people's lives. And so the number one goal for me, quite honestly, over the next 4 or 5 months, is to learn as much as I can about the current culture.
AM 580's Jeff Bossert spoke with Parkland College's new president, Robert Exley. He replaces Zalima Harris, who retired earlier this year. After a blazing hot week, we're going to have a pretty nice weekend. Very summer-like, but not extremely warm like we have seen in the past few days. Our meteorologist Ed Kieser says it'll be mostly sunny today, very pleasant. The highs ranging from 83 near Lake Michigan to 89 degrees in southern Illinois and Indiana. Across the two states tonight, it will be clear. Some patchy fog will form in rural areas, and lows will range from 58 in northeast Indiana to 67 in the south. Sunshine continues tomorrow. Saturday's highs ranging between 85 and 90. It'll be hazy, hot, and humid on Sunday then. And on Monday and Tuesday, a mix of clouds and hazy sunshine, more humid, a chance of a few widely scattered thunderstorms. And the high Sunday, reaching back from 88 to 94 degrees. Monday and Tuesday's highs from the 80s north to 90s south. And then low Sunday in the 60s, and Monday and Tuesday in the mid-60s to low 70s. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, August 4th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.